Turning now our attention to the Word of God found in Judges chapter 11. I'm not going to read the entire chapter. I'm going to read verses 1 through 10 and then verses 29 to the end, verse 40. That's Judges chapter 11. This is the Word of God. Very amazing word it is. Let us hear it. Beginning Judges 11:1. Now Jephthah, the Gileadite, was a mighty man of valor. He was the son of a harlot, and Gilead begat Jephthah. And Gilead's wife bare him sons, and his wife's sons grew up, and they thrust out Jephthah and said to him, "Thou shalt not inherit in our father's house, for thou art the son of a strange woman." Then Jephthah fled from his brethren and dwelt in the land of Tob. And there were gathered vain men to Jephthah and went out with him. Came to pass in the process of time that the children of Ammon made war against Israel. And it was so that when the children of Ammon made war against Israel, the elders of Gilead went to fetch Jephthah out of the land of Tob. And they said unto Jephthah, "Come and be our captain, that we may fight with the children of Ammon." And Jephthah said to the elders of Gilead, "Did not ye hate me and expel me out of my father's house? And why are ye come unto me now when ye are in distress?" And the elders of Gilead said to Jephthah, "Therefore we turn again to thee now, that thou may go with us and fight against the children of Ammon and be our head over all the inhabitants of Gilead." And Jephthah said to the elders of Gilead, "If ye bring me home again to fight against the children of Ammon, and the Lord deliver them before me, shall I be your head?" And the elders of Gilead said to Jephthah, "The Lord be witness between us, if we do not so, according to thy words." And then skipping now to verse 29. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah, and he passed over Gilead and Manasseh, and passed over Mizpah of Gilead, and from Mizpah of Gilead he passed over unto the children of Ammon. And Jephthah vowed a vow unto the Lord, and said, "If thou shalt without fail deliver the children of Ammon into mine hands, then it shall be that whatsoever cometh forth of the doors of my house to meet me when I return in peace from the children of Ammon shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering." So Jephthah had passed over unto the children of Ammon to fight against them, and the Lord delivered them into his hands. And he smote them from Aroer even till thou come to Minnith, 20 cities, and unto the plain of the vineyards with a great slaughter. Thus the children of Ammon were subdued before the children of Israel. And Jephthah came to Mizpah unto his house, and behold, his daughter came out to meet him with timbrels and with dances, and she was his only child. Besides her, he had neither son nor daughter. And it came to pass when he saw her that he rent his clothes and said, "Alas, my daughter, thou hast brought me very low, and thou art one of them that trouble me, for I have opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back." She said to him, "My father, if thou hast opened thy mouth unto the Lord, do to me according to that which hath proceeded out of thy mouth. For as much as the Lord hath taken vengeance for thee of thine enemies, even of the children of Ammon." She said to her father, "Let this thing be done for me. Let me alone 2 months, Then I go up and down upon the mountains and bewail my virginity, I and my fellows. And he said, go. He sent her away for 2 months. And she went with her companions and bewailed her virginity upon the mountains. And it came to pass at the end of 2 months that she returned unto her father, who did with her according to his vow which he had vowed, and she knew no man. And it was a custom in Israel that the daughters of Israel went yearly to lament the daughter of Jephthah, the Gileadite, 4 days in a year. May God bless the reading of his most holy and sacred word. Heavenly Lord Jesus, we ask that you would bless this to us. It is a powerful word, a powerful example. And apply it to us now. For this we ask in your precious name. Amen. Like a dog returning to its vomit, Israel apostatized again and again, repeatedly, over the period of about 400 years. That was the period of time of the judges, 300 to 400 years. And after Gideon, they apostatized again. And another judge is raised up. This time it's Jephthah. Jephthah had a challenge. He was not really part of the family because his mother was not the mother of the other children, so they thrust him out of the house. Only to receive him back again because he was a man of valor. A mighty man of Jehovah, his name Jephthah means. A mighty man of God, a mighty man of valor. A warrior. And they knew it. So God raises up this judge. And in the process of going back and forth with the children of Ammon and with the Ammonite king, over the land that Israel was given by Jehovah, they possessed the land, they won the war against the Ammonites and others in the past, they possessed this land, this territory, and Ammon wants it back, King Ammon wants it back. So he's going to fight. Jephthah tries to reason with them, and that's verses 11 through 28. It's the talk between Jephthah and Ammon, but Ammon would have none of it. His heart was hardened, and he wanted to wage war against Israel. At that point, Jephthah had no recourse but to call upon the name of the Lord. Help! Lord, help me to deliver the children of Israel into your hands and out of the hands of the Ammonites, the enemies of Israel. Jephthah makes a vow, a promise to the Lord. And that's what I want to talk about today. We have a vow or vows coming up. It's a very important thing in the scripture. Jesus told us that our yes is to be yes and our no is to be no. Any more than that, swearing on the grave of your mother, swearing on this house or that land or whatever, is sin. In ordinary conversation, day to day, exchanges between people, we are men and women of our word. My yes is yes, my no is no. No, it needs no elaboration. I don't have to go beyond that. My word is my bond. However, there are times when we must swear an oath or make a vow. And it was a special times. Not too many of those times occur in our lives. Most of us, it's two times. Right? Membership and marriage. But Jephthah makes a vow. And it's an interesting one. In verse 29, the Spirit came upon him at Passover, and then Jephthah vowed a vow, verse 30, to the Lord, "If thou shalt without fail deliver the children of Ammon into my hands, then it shall be that whatsoever comes forth of the doors of my house to meet me when I return in peace from the children of Ammon shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering." Wow. Let's talk about the seriousness of this. But first, the occasion for Jephthah making this vow in Ammon is that the king is hardened. He will not hear the words of Jephthah. He will not reason with him. He is going to destroy Israel out of the land. He's going to just, the Ammonite king's going to wipe them out. He's going to destroy them. He's purposed to do this. So it's a very serious thing. When Jephthah, therefore, notes this and says, okay, war, you want war? War it will be. He comes before the Lord and asks the Lord for help. He makes a promise. He's not bargaining with the Lord. This is not a bargain. Jephthah believes in Jehovah. His name means Almighty Jehovah. A mighty warrior for Jehovah. He believes in Jehovah, and he is grateful for all the times that Jehovah rescued the people Israel through the period of judges. He was aware of it. Through the period of judges, he rescued them again and again and again. Hundreds of years went by. The children of Israel would apostatize. They would rebel. They would go into their own way, so that the period itself, these many hundreds of years, several hundreds of years, were described or characterized as the people did what was right in their own eyes. That's the way they operated, much like today you see in the church. The people did what's right in their own eyes. They held high, or in the highest regard, their own opinions. Anybody do that? We all do that. But it seems today that the church, at least in the United States, is famous for doing that. Doing right what it feels is right, what is best, in its own mind, its own opinion. That was the period of Judges. But God is merciful. God loves his people. God cares about his people. So he restores them again and again, repeatedly. And this time, he's going to restore them through the judge Jephthah. So Jephthah, out of thankfulness and belief and the promise of God that I will not break my covenant, he mentioned that in Judges chapter 2. I will never, God said, I will never break my covenant with Israel. I will never break my covenant. Well, Jephthah realized this. And so out of gratitude and thanksgiving and reverence and fear of the Lord, he vows this vow. Did he do it hastily or rashly? In my Bible, it says he did. It has its heading. This is not inspired by the word, but it's a heading that the translators give. Jephthah's rash vow. I don't agree with that heading. Did you hear? I disagree. I don't know if it says that in your Bible, but I disagree. It wasn't a rash vow. It was very thoughtful. It was a very purposeful, it was very difficult. But he made it. It shall be that whatsoever comes forth of the door of my house to meet me when I return in peace from the children of Ammon shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering. That was a purpose vow. That was not an accident. That was not made in haste. I can't agree with that interpretation or that heading. It's just a heading. So, you know, you could take it or leave it. It's not necessary. It's not in the Word of God. What's in the Word of God is what I'm speaking on now and what it's all about. Now, I want to take this in two parts, as some people have and commentators have. The first is, whatsoever cometh forth of the doors of my house to meet me when I return in peace from Ammon. And that, of course, is his daughter. Right? He says, I'm going to offer it up to the Lord as a burnt offering. Well, did Jephthah, when he returned to his house after the defeat of the Ammonites and the blessing of the Lord upon him and upon the people of Israel, when he returns to that, do you really actually think that he thought an animal was going to come out and greet him for success? Of course not. It was going to be a person. And he probably thought that the first person that's going to come out to greet him was his only child. Dancing and giving praise to God and to the success. He probably thought that his daughter was going to come out of that house first and greet him. And that's exactly what happened. Of course he gave consideration. He didn't make a hasty vow here. He gave consideration to that vow. He knew what he was doing. He knew what God had promised to Israel, that I am never going to leave you or forsake you. I'm always going to keep my covenant. I'm never going to break it. I am going to bring back my people. I am going to use you as judge this time to do it. You've done it before, a number of times before, and you're going to use me to do it now. So I'm making a very significant vow to you, Lord. A promise that I intend to keep. The second part of the vow, whatsoever cometh forth out of the doors of the house to meet me when I return in peace from the children of Ammon, and this is it, shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering. You mean he thought to offer up his only daughter, his darling daughter, who loved him and he loved dearly, as a sacrifice, a burnt offering, a human sacrifice? Well, we know that that is not the case. It's clear in the context that God never intended for any Israelite to offer up a child, a son or a daughter, as some sort of burnt sacrifice and offering. That's not what was intended here. But burnt offering is meant that he is going to offer up her life. Her life becomes God's. God takes control entirely of her life. In other words, she is being offered up as a virgin to God and a life of virginity, devoted solely to the Lord. That's what this vow is about. I'm going to offer up the first person that comes out, and I'm pretty sure who it's going to be, my daughter. And she's going to, her life is now yours. She belongs to you, Lord. Remember, it was repugnant to God. The thought never occurred to him in an anthropomorphic way of speaking, of course. The thought never occurred to God to offer up our children as human sacrifices. So that is not what's meant here at all. But he's offering up her entire life to the Lord. A life of virginity. And as a result, she responds, give me 2 months to wail, and all that, with my friends. And then come back. So the whole thing is working out according to plan. So the point that I want to make for us is simply this. A vow is serious. It's a very serious thing, obviously. The Lord does not take lightly even our words, yes and no. But a vow or swearing an oath, and you're going to do this before God and His people, is a very serious matter. As I mentioned before, there are two vows that we normally, most of us, are going to take as Christians. There's a set of vows under the head of membership, and there's vows to be made on our wedding day. Those are pretty much the two vows that we make, right? Most of us. Not all of us, but most of us. By the way, don't you love the way his daughter responded? When Jephthah said, I open my mouth and I can't go back on this. And the daughter said, if you said this to the Lord, then you have to do it. What a daughter that is. I mean, which one of you would say that to her father? That's your business. That's not mine. I'm not going to do that. You're nuts. Right? We would never, ever respond like that. Very few of us would respond wholeheartedly to what our father or our mother promises God for us. But here it is. Right here in the Word of God. Is there any question about it? What Jephthah said? What he did? What his daughter said? What she did? Is this some sort of story made up? No, this happened. This really happened. And as I pointed out, there are those the vows that we take of membership. We're going to hear about them. And one of the vows includes a vow that I will live a godly life, a holy life. I am going to honor you by my words, with my words, and by my deeds. And then there's a vow of marriage, right? On our wedding day. When we hear those words, or facsimile thereof, to have and to hold, you promise to have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish, till death do you part. I said, I do. Did I mean it at the time? Yeah. But what happens is over the course of time, things take place and we go through changes and life gets in the way. And pretty soon we're debating whether our words should be held to account. This has happened to many, many a Christian. The vows that they have made for membership have been broken. The vows that they made in marriage at the wedding time have been broken. Not the unforgivable sin, but you're asking the Lord to judge you, to discipline you, to chasten you. And he will. Nothing escapes the Lord. And so, not only is a vow serious, it is costly. It's going to cost you. It always does. There is no exception in this life. You make a vow, it's going to cost you. It's going to try you. It's going to test you. It's going to tempt you. No doubt about it. Everyone who has lived any length of time in a conscious state of mind will affirm that. No excuse. No excuse for me to break my vow. None whatsoever. But somehow we find that to be the case sometimes. Why Jephthah, by the way, was so sad about this when he came to the house and his daughter comes out and he says, "Oh, because now the cost is there. Now it's presented to him, his words, what they really mean. And it impacts him. It's not that he made it in haste and he didn't mean it and it wasn't purposed or thought out and he didn't love the Lord and in thankfulness and gratitude to the Lord make this vow. It's just when it happened, when his daughter comes out and he sees her and so lovely and she's so happy and she's dancing and she's praising God for the great victory he had given Israel and Jephthah and her father. It hit him. It actually happened. And it hurt. It sunk his soul. He knew what he was doing, but the impact had not yet occurred until she came walking out of the house, the first one. And the vow just came right in his face. And there was no escaping. For he was a judge of Israel. He would not go back on his word, on his vow. And his daughter was such a sweetheart. Such an honorable woman. Virtuous. That she took the vow home into her heart and honored her father and her God. Does this speak to you? It speaks to me. And I'm sure it speaks to you. This is powerful. A vow is serious. And it is costly. And it does bring a test upon us. Just think about it. This father, this is his only child, and he is not going to see her get married. He's not going to have the grandchildren that he so desired to raise up. Because he isn't going to have anyone take his name is going to be dropped in Israel. And so is his daughter's. For she's not going to have a son or a daughter. No child in Israel is going to be by her name either. Their name is going to be dropped in terms of inheriting a place in Israel. How the costliness of keeping our vows needs to be heard today. How many people have made vows of membership only to go back on them? I know we all know that. We all know someone who has made a vow, taken a vow, gone back on it. How many vows are made even in baptism, and the parents have not raised the child well in the fear and admonition of the Lord and the catechisms of the church and the standards of the church? How many of these vows have been broken? God forgives. He does. But your life is affected negatively. God is chastening you when you break a vow. Whether it's made at baptism or it's made at membership. But you know, when the going gets rough and times get tough, the promises that we've made go, they fly. They sprout wings and they fly away. And I really want the young people to hear this. You made vows already, some of you. And you will probably make a vow when you get married. Lord willing, most young people want to do that. Young men, young women want to get married at some point. And they make a vow. And you make a vow, till death do you part. What does that mean? Till death do you part. Doesn't matter, for better or for worse, rich and poor, in sickness and in health. Your husband's a bum. There's no reason. Your wife doesn't clean anything. No reason. I mean, the 101 different reasons that they come up with. We're incompatible. Incompatible differences. We don't get along. We fight too much. We argue too much. Oh, stop fighting. Stop arguing. Honor your vow. Honor each other so you can honor your vows. But, you know, the world doesn't care about its words and promises. It goes back on them all the time. We as Christians do not go back on our word. Not even a simple word, a yes or a no. We do not go, we do not back down. Even, as the psalmist says, even when it hurts, we keep it. And that brings up the third and final point. A vow is serious. A vow is costly. It's going to put you to the test. And a vow needs to be kept. Jephthah kept his vow, right? Read about that in verse 39. It came to pass at the end of 2 months that he returned unto her father, who did with her according to his vow, which he had vowed, and she knew no man. And it was a custom in Israel that the daughters of Israel went yearly to lament the daughter of Jephthah in Gilead 4 days in a year. So all of Israel heard about this, and they honored Jephthah and his daughter for honoring the vow of the father. And kept it. Dear brothers and sisters, none of us can do this on our own. We will all fail. Jephthah would have failed too, if not for the grace of God. God is powerful, and he works in us. We need to think about what we do and what we say carefully, yes. Be a man or woman of few words, right? Because in many words, as the proverb says, is much sin. Keep your words few and mean what you say. And know that God is paying attention. And because he's at work in us to will and do of his good pleasure, he will strengthen us. And when we fail, and we do, when we doubt, when we are troubled by this, when we are tempted to renege on our word, God is faithful, who has promised, I will forgive your sin and I will strengthen you within. It's only by the grace of God, dear people, please hear. It's only by the grace of God that Jephthah was able to do and his daughter was able to do, and we are able to honor our vows and our commitments and our words. Only by the grace of God. Remember God, who vowed, who gave his only begotten Son a sacrifice for us all, to deliver him up to death for us all. Shall we not give God our all? Live up to our name, Christian, and honor our vows, our promises, and our words. In thanksgiving, in gratitude, give yourself, give your words, your promises, your vows to God in the name of Jesus Christ. One of the things we're supposed to be, there's a question. What am I to do? What is God's will for my life? And a better question is not what should I choose or what is God's will, but who should I be? Read that in a book lately. Who should I be? And the answer that the author comes up with is, you should be like Jesus. That is God's will for your life. Be like Jesus, who honored the Father with his every word and his every deed. That's what you are, Christian, to be like Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the encouragement, the seriousness, yes, the costliness, yes, but the word that you give us is very clear, and it's powerful. And we want to be like Jesus. We want to be like Jephthah and his daughter, who honored their vow. She honored the vow of her father. The father honored the vow, even though it set him back in emotionally in a terrible way. Yet, we know that when we honor you, as the prophet Samuel said, he who honors me, I will honor. May we honor you with our words, promises, and even our vows. We pray in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.